Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! There is none other than the house, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, This man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, Rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you've heard this before, haven't you? Put off your old self, be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self. You maybe haven't heard it all the time using those precise words, but that is a message that is found consistently and regularly in the New Testament. We are to put off our old selves. We are to forget, to banish, to get rid of that which belongs to our former manner of life. That is to say, the way that we lived before we were baptized, before we were converted. And the reason for that is really quite simple, that those things, and this is even part of the question of, well, what exactly things are we talking about putting off, but it's the things that are corrupt through our deceitful desires. In other words, put off evil, put off sin. Put off those things that are trying to drag us back down to the way that we were before. And instead, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Hopefully, when you hear that word renewed, you think of baptism. Because that's what you should be thinking about. When you were baptized, when the water and the word came to you, it did more than just make you a little bit wet. The Spirit came to you, and he renewed you. He regenerated you. You were dead in your sin, in your spirits, before baptism. But once you were baptized, you were made alive again. You are being renewed constantly, even now, by your baptism. It is not one of those one-and-done kind of things. It is now even active in your life at this moment. And recognize that this is in the spirit of your minds as well. We are to even think differently now. We care about things differently than what we cared about before. We think about things differently than we thought about them before. Even our very minds are different. And we put on the new self. The self that has been created after the likeness of God. This is what God is doing for you. He is creating you to be like him. And when we say that, we don't mean that you're going to get the phenomenal cosmic powers or anything like that. No, what we mean is that you are going to be good. You're going to be righteous. You're going to be holy. You're going to be loving. And in fact, what we mean and what Paul's point here is that this is not even just some future thing, but that it's starting even now. Your baptism is with you even now. God is even now creating you to be like him, to be a good, loving, righteous, and holy person. And we therefore should strive to live as the people that God is creating us to be. Again, you hear this message frequently. Paul always constantly seems to bring this up in his letters. He regularly encourages his readers and his listeners to do this thing. And essentially it is this, to live as the people that God is creating you to be. To be the person that God is creating you to be. But even as he does this, even as he encourages you in this, recognize some of the things that he doesn't say. He doesn't say that it's going to be easy. He doesn't say that this is going to be something that sort of is just simple and you can do without much thought or effort on your part. That's not what he says at all. He doesn't say that we are going to succeed every single time that we strive to do this. He doesn't say that we're going to somehow, just by virtue of becoming a Christian, become perfect Christians. Hopefully you all recognize the truth that, at least this side of heaven, there is no such thing as a perfect Christian. And that's another thing that he doesn't say, by the way. He does not say that we need to do this alone. He doesn't say that we need to try and muster up all of the goodness that we can in ourselves. Naturally, we are all able to help each other in this, to help each other in striving to put off our old selves and to put on the new selves, striving to renew each other in the spirit of our mind. But even more importantly than that, even more importantly than helping each other, we recognize the wonderful truth that it is God himself who is making these changes inside of us. God doesn't leave us alone. God is working even now through your baptism. The Spirit is with you even now, renewing you, casting off the old self, and putting on the new self for you. And we are free to ask God to continue doing that for us, to ask him to help us in those times when it seems like we're failing, because it is his work inside of us that he is doing. Paul continues on, and he gives us some helpful examples of what this kind of thing will look like. What does it actually look like in kind of practical terms to put off your old self and to take upon you your new self? Well, the first thing he says really should just sort of make sense for us, that therefore, having put away falsehood. It just makes sense that followers of the God of truth shouldn't lie, shouldn't deceive, but that instead, each one of us are to speak the truth with our neighbor. Christians should be truth speakers. And it's really quite simple as to why we should do this, for we are members one of another. To lie to our fellow Christian is essentially to try and lie to yourself. It just doesn't work. You shouldn't do it, because we are to speak the truth, because it is the truth that sets us free. The truth of what our Lord has done for us, and the truth of what our Lord expects of us. Paul continues on with his list of examples here. Be angry and do not sin. I'll be frank with you all. I'm not sure this is possible for us. I don't know if it's possible for us to actually be angry and have it be a holy, righteous, just anger. Our sin does infect us still even now. And it's so easy when we're angry to slip into sinning. But that doesn't mean that we can't try. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for this. And that doesn't mean that we strive to be angry. It means that we strive for when we do get angry to not sin, to control the anger rather than letting the anger control you. And how thankful we are that our Lord forgives us for those times when we fail. He then continues talking about this idea of anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, he says. Now, do recognize that this doesn't mean that you need to try and deal with whatever the issue is right in the midst of your anger. It's okay to take a couple of minutes to cool off a little bit before you try and reconcile. But do try to reconcile. This is the point here, that we, especially we as Christians, as we live together, should strive to not let the anger that arises in us get in between us. That we should try to come together. We should try to forgive each other. And Paul continues on. Part of the reason for this is that if we don't do that, that we're going to be giving opportunity to the devil. And we should strive to not do that. We should strive to give no opportunity to the devil. And there are so many things. I could probably do an entire sermon on don't give opportunity to the devil. But to make a long story short here, don't put yourselves in situations where you might sin. If you have a struggle with alcohol, for instance, don't go to a bar. If you have a struggle with anger, Work on that. Put yourself into situations where you can learn to control it. All those kinds of things are involved with this, and ultimately it comes down to this. Actually try to not sin. Strive for this. Be intentional about this. And then he gives kind of another simple example here. Let the thief no longer steal. In other words, don't break the seventh commandment, for one thing. But the idea here is to recognize that it is possible to be in kind of professions. I wouldn't call being a thief actually a profession, but sometimes that's how they think about it. That is, in fact, sinful. That is, in fact, wrong. It's possible to be in something that is a sinful thing that is part of your job. Don't do that. Avoid those sins. Rather, let him labor. In other words, rather do good work. Strive for a job, strive for a career or employment or whatever, wherein you are doing honest work with your own hands. And do notice this. Notice the reason that Paul says this. He doesn't say, do all these things so that you can support yourself. He doesn't even say, do all these things so that you can give money to the church. No, he says that he might have something to share with anyone in need. God gives us our gifts, yes, for those other reasons that I mentioned, supporting yourself and your family and your church and your community. But he also gives you these gifts to share with others, with anyone who is in need. Now, this is all a very hard thing to hear. And the reason for this is because we try at this and we fail. The reason that this is hard to hear is because we actually do want to do all of these things. That's one of the wonderful things that God has done for us. He's created in us a desire to do good, to try and follow his will. And so then, when we try to do that and we fail, it's easy to give the opportunity a devil there as well. It's easy to give the devil an opportunity, not just in our anger, but in our despair as well. And recognize that this is part of his strategy. I've told you this before, and it's so frustrating about him, but this is what he does, is that he will sit there and he'll whisper a sin into your ear, whisper a temptation into your ear. And what he's going to do is he's going to convince you, it's not really that bad. It's okay if you do it this one time. You know, you've had a really rough day. It's okay to let off some steam. All of that's fine. It's okay. That's what he'll tell you. And then, once you fall into the temptation, once you actually give in to that and you sin, then he comes right back and he immediately guilt trips you for doing the very thing that he was trying to get you to do. He comes and he tries to drive us into either despair or self-righteousness. He comes and he tries to make us feel as if we are condemned. And so often what he will do for us as Christians is he's going to get us to fail at these things that God wants us to do, and then he's going to try and give us the keenest awareness possible of that failure. He's going to come to you, and he's going to whisper, "You're such a bad Christian. You're such a bad person. You did this, you did that. Look at all of these things. Look at everybody else. Everybody else is way better than you are." But recognize the wonderful truth that Paul speaks here. That is your old self. That is your sinful self. The devil takes advantage of those deceitful desires that are within you. And the devil is going to try and convince you that that's who you are. But That is not who you are. You are a new self. You are one who is created after the likeness of God Himself. You are one who has been washed clean in the waters of baptism, one who has had the name of God put on you, one who, because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and the faith that He has given you that trusts in that, are one who is even now righteous and holy before God Himself because of what Jesus did for you. The devil is a liar. He lies to get you to sin, and he lies to get you to think that you cannot be saved. And that is not true. Not only can you be saved, but you are saved. Jesus has already worked this great work within you. God is already working in you, making you into that new self. You are even now before God good and righteous and holy and loving. And it is our privilege that we get to strive to live that truth out. But even if we fail, that's what Jesus died for. He died to forgive us for our failures. He died to make us to be like Him. And you are free to trust in Him, to continue that great work until He brings it to His completion on the day when He calls you home. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.